Don't let this guy scare you. He always looks this way when he air checks for 48 hours straight.
Kiss my curvy butt goodbye.
Here's Phil Wayne with the Market Scope.
Heidi Xers, welcome to Market Scope for July 2001. As we finish our final visit to Houston, Texas, and listen to the last half of Houston's FM band. Here again are Gary Kettler and Dale Hamm.
Next is 97.9 The Box, KBXX, owned by Radio 1.
Pretty readable here?
Oh yeah, they're loud. Okay, they are good. Overall the number one station in Houston. They're urban hip-hop and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They've been doing that format for a good 10 or 12 years. Before that, they were KFMK.
Okay.
And they were a pretty nice sounding oldie station when I lived here in the late 80s.
Hey, Okay. Check it out. You can't miss the new and improved www.kbxx.com.
Your official Ticketmaster.com deal of the week station. With special ticket offers. Just click on the Ticketmaster.com deal of the week. If you're a female between 14 and 24, can write and perform your own music, and want your voice to be heard, log on to KBXX.com and click on the Pantene Pro Voice logo to get your application for the Pantene Pro Voice music competition today. Pantene Pro Voice is accepting applications between now and April 30th, 2001. Don't miss your chance to perform live in New York City and to win a ton of great prizes, including a demo recording deal with Atlantic Records. So log on to KBXX.com and click on the Pantene Pro Voice logo for complete contest information, rules, and regulations. Pantene Pro Voice, celebrating what women have to say. It's another exclusive from KBXX.com.
97.9 The Box, putting it down in the street.
One more time. Oh, I'm on the radio. 97.9 The VOX. Walter D. Rapping it back to the old school mix. Your Latina girl, Carmen Contreras, swinging around the mic. Woo, I thought I was performing. Can I get some cash for this? More live mixing coming at you later on. 5 o'clock, Bugs Party on Hatter's show. And keep in mind that the Mickey Mad Hatter will be broadcasting live from the Soul Train Music Awards in L.A. So make sure you check them out from 2 to 6 on 97.9 The BOX.
Next is 98.5 KTJM. They're jamming hits. They have been moved in since about 88, I think. They used to be in Beaumont. They were Kiss 98.5. They were urban then, and they moved into Houston and kept doing that format for a while. Mm-hmm. And then this afternoon, from about the mid-90s on, they've been changing formats about every 2 years. So they're due for a format change.
Spending your work days with Jordan Sinclair.
I need to drown out my annoying friend. Please initiate music. High volume.
On 98.5 Jammin' Hits.
Jammin' Hits.
Next is Sunny 99.1, KODA, owned by Clear Channel. They're soft adult contemporary, and they're very, very successful with that format.
Their ratings is pretty high.
Yeah, they're up around the 2 or 3.
Glory, oh, listening to Arbitron rated number one, KODA, Houston Sunny 99.1. 1258 with Donna McCoy playing the best soft rock during your no-repeat workday. You won't hear the same song twice between 8 and 5, so you can listen all day while you're working.
FM 100.3 country, owned by Infinity. And that station has been consistent over the many years. A lot of people who work for that station have been there for years and years.
So then they, in the rankings among listeners, they have a big listener.
Yeah, Kilt always does pretty well.
Okay.
Kilt FM, well, they don't actually call it 100.3 KILT, but anyway, they are the number one country station in Houston.
Country leader, 100.3 KILT. Phil Vassa there, just another day in paradise. And our congratulations to Karen Reagan of Houston, who remembered the punchline as, yeah, but you started it. So for that, she gets a family four-pack of tickets to the Houston Museum of Natural Science, where they're now showing the new IMAX hit, Shackleton's Antarctic Adventure.
Having a little bit of a senior moment.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I experience them from time to time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll make sure I get you some ginkgo biloba and see if we can fix you up.
I had ginkgo biloba once, but thank God I got a shot and got rid of it.
Yeah. The Rowdy Ride Home, every afternoon on 100.3 KILT. This is Infinity Broadcasting, proudly affiliated with CMT, Country Music Television.
Texas Country, 100.3
KILT. Next is the 100.7 House Party, KRTX-FM, a license to Winnie, and they are a Latin hip-hop station, and they moved that station in the mid-early 90s or 92 or 3, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Is it still in Winnie, or is it?
Well, their studios are in Houston,
okay.
And their tower sites.
Okay, it's over in Winnie.
And not in Winnie anymore, but, and they... been doing this current format now for about a year and a half or so.
Let's do it.
Kicking off another 45 minutes.
45 minutes
of your favorite house party hit.
House party hit.
From Houston's new 100.7
House Party.
What do we have next after 100.7?
Next is Rock 101 KLOL,
okay.
Owned by Clear Channel. They've been rock and roll for 30 years, actually.
Yeah. So in their market for Houston, they're number one probably in their market.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, pretty much.
They
just keep doing it. They were KTRH's original FM.
Station that really rocks. Fuel. Find us with Ozzy Osbourne. And the rights. And the rock we made famous. Rock 101 KLOL, Houston's rock station. Fuel.
Are just where you linger.
Next is Magic 102, KMJQ. They are owned by Radio 1. They're a little bit softer urban AC. And they've been some form of urban since the late 70s.
Yeah.
They do Quiet Storm, and they run Tom Joyner, and they're also very, very successful. Next is 102.9, KLTN, Estereo Latino. They are the number one Spanish language station in Houston. That station's been doing that format since 98.
Mm-hmm.
For about a year, year and a half before that, they were 102.9 The Planet. And for about 40 years before that, they were KQUE. They were kind of you might call them an old-style MOR station. They were a fine station. They played a lot of good big band music and stuff like that, and other, other newer adult contemporary stuff.
Okay.
They had a lot of listeners. You could go into places in Houston and you didn't hear them.
All the places were kind of playing their music.
A lot of places did play them.
Okay.
They were locally owned up until they became The Planet.
KLTN Houston, Estéreo Latino 102.9
y en el internet netmio.com.
Estéreo Latino 102.9, buenas tardes, 2:04. Es el llamado oficial para marcar el 713-390-5586. Escucha bien, si tú eres la llamada número 9, te vas a llevar otro par de boletos para la gran presentación del más taquillero, el Conjunto Primavera. Junto con el grupo La Firma, Cornelio Reina Jr. y La Conquista llegan este sábado 3 de marzo al de Andas Ballroom. El baile más grande será este sábado y tengo par de boletos a la llamada número 9. Voy a despejar las líneas y te voy a desear muy buena suerte con Estéreo Latino 102.9.
Next is 103.3, which simulcast with 98.5. They're calling that as KJOJ FM, and they're licensed to Freeport.
Music 98.5, Houston's Jammin' Hit.
Who do we have next?
Next is KRBE on 104.1.
Okay.
They're the mainline contemporary hit station here.
Okay.
They've been doing that format for most of 30 years. There have been a few periods of time where they'd kind of drift away from it, but they've always come back to it. And they are the only commercial FM station in Houston with their original set of call letters.
Wow.
KODA and KIKK and KILT had those call letters for years, okay, but they weren't the original one.
I'll be the one to tuck you in at night, and if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me. Today's hit music.
104 KRBE.
Sounds like this.
Robert Miss Jackson.
More time. I wanna celebrate.
Wire in.
Houston's number one
hit music station.
104 KRP. KRP.
Red Song.
We have, there are two 104.9s, both owned by Hispanic Broadcasting. As I lose my voice.
you want to take a break?
No, that's fine, because we're almost concluding it here. They simulcast with 93.3, and the one here in Galveston is KLTO, and the one in Rosenberg, west of Houston, is KOVA, I think. And they're Spanish adult.
Yeah.
105.7 KHCB. They are Christian.
Yeah.
And they are listener-supported Christians.
Readable here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're fine here. And they own a bunch of translators they've built over the last 5 or 10 years.
KHCB FM Houston at 105.7 and KHCH Huntsville AM 1400, keeping him close by 24 hours a day. The KHCB Radio Network. It's going to be cloudy tonight with a 50% chance of rain, and we'll have a low around 50 degrees. At last report, cloudy skies, 68 degrees at Hobby, partly sunny, 75 on the island, cloudy 49 at Bryan College Station. It's 3 o'clock.
Next is 106.5 KQQK, or as everybody around here calls
them. Now that's Spanish, isn't it?
Kakukuka. They are Tejano format.
Heard that one.
They recently repackaged that station a little bit, and they're pretty much bilingual on that station.
Okay.
They're licensed to Galveston.
Okay.
They
good.
Moved out of here in the early 80s.
The transmitter's still here, but they're up in...
The transmitter is about halfway between here and there.
Okay, got you. Good signal to be heard here.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah. We still have a lot of listeners here.
Y así se despiden los cuatro vatos locos. ¡Make el conjunto! ¡Carnal!
Número 1 de
Tejano, Tejano, 106.5, Ka, Cucu, Ka.
.69 The Point, KHPT. They started that format in, was it October, I think, of last year. For many years before that, they were Christian. They were owned by Salem.
Yeah.
They were KKHT, and they just Salem just moved that format to 1070.
Okay.
And they're all 80s.
No more waiting for your favorite songs from the 80s.
More music starts in 3, 2, 1. 106.9 The Point. It's Houston's newest radio station, specializing in the best music of the 80s
and more.
The new 106.9 The Point.
Next is Oldies 107.5, KLDE, owned by Cox.
That's one of my favorite, another one of my favorite FMers.
As is 106.9, they are also owned by Cox.
Mm-hmm.
And they originally were on 94.5 up until, a big frequency swap of last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry Dick Bartley, the Dick Bartley Show on Saturday night and some other...
Okay.
Some other syndicated.
The Queen of Soul on Oldies 107.5.
Chain, chain, yeah, the chain of blue.
Oldies 107.5. Oldies 107.5.
We got him. We're cranking out good times and great oldies 24 hours a day. And then some. Oldies 107.5.
You don't know me. I love to be young.
Oldies 107.5. Good times and great oldies. Leslie Gore. Right there, You Don't Own Me. And we got some great ones coming up. Beatles to the King of Rock and Roll. Get it ready. We are partying on Hump Day with Oldies 107.5.
Houston.
Houston's Good Time Oldies are at 107.5.
It makes me feel good.
It's the music that I grew up with.
It takes me back. My baby boy.
There's one place on the dial guaranteed to pick you up.
107.5.
Oldies 107.5.
You'll have a couple of days of the rodeo. You got the Mardi Gras, and of course, it's wrapped up. Galveston is starting getting ready for the beach coming up, and you guys are running around. We're getting, this is hump day, so we're going to gonna be a nice day, yes sir. Well, they say it's gonna rain a little bit, but that's all right. We're not gonna be worrying about that. All you gotta do is grab that umbrella when you're going out to the rodeo tonight to have a good time. We got Def Leppard coming to town. Right now it's a little cool and foggy, 62 out at the beach, and it's about 67 at the Galleria. Now more good times and great oldies with the songs that are fun to sing along with.
Oldies 107.5.
Address, same great oldies. Oldies 107.5.
Oldies 107.5. Put your hand on the radio and talk to Brother K. Testify.
I've been in Houston all my life, and I love my oldies.
Say hallelujah.
Oldies 107.5.
Round, round, get around.
Your oldies button is now locked in at 107.5, Houston's home for good times and great oldies. Oldies 107.5.
There's something happening.
Oldies 107.5. Good times, great oldies, Buffalo Springfield on your hump day.
Hello. We know you need feel-good music for your workday.
All right, darling. Now what's the plan?
Okay. Here's another hour of good times and great oldies.
Good times and great oldies. Oldies 107.5.
Last one is on 107.9. KXTJ, they are pretty much the main, they're the main competition to 102.9. They're kind of going after them.
Yeah.
Although they don't have the signal 102.9 does in Houston. But they are Spanish.
Okay, so this kind of concludes the FM, huh?
That's it.
Thanks again, guys, for an outstanding and fascinating Market Scope. If you would like to contribute a Market Scope, just like Dale and Gary, contact me, Phil Wayne, at 1872 Myers Road East in Marion, Ohio, 43302-9160. The NRC and DXAS membership would be most grateful. Next on your audio service tape, we hear from you. It's Musings from the Members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
Hello, this is Mike Blank in Greenville, North Carolina. A week or two ago when I was listening to the Met game, they were talking about the former Montreal announcer announcing for the team in Florida, the Marlins. Well, they also said 2 weeks ago they finally got an English broadcast for the Expo games. Maybe Ken Honestchuk can get more update on it, but at least the Expos are being broadcast in English.
Hey there, Dix. Here's Josh Owens calling from Brown Summit, North Carolina. On Saturday, the 9th day of June, 2001, Fred enjoyed the magazine as always, and I have a special comment for you, Fred. I enjoyed your little columns you read off of the other things you subscribe to, whatever it's called, but I enjoyed it, and although I've only been radio 3 years, as far as working behind the board, I can relate to some of those. I've been around it a whole lot longer, but I enjoyed it and just got a good kick out of it. Enjoy the magazine anyway, and looking forward to getting the next one. Thank you much, and enjoy it, and looking forward to talking to you later on. Have a good day, y'all.
Hello, DX Audio Service listeners. This is Mitch Pomerantz from Los Angeles. Two things having to do with the June DX Audio Service. To Jerry Starr, you mentioned that on 1500 in Los Angeles, there was a call letter change to KIEV. Well, if that's the case, there needs to be a station that goes with it. Right now on 1500, and I live in Hollywood, there is a Travelers Information station on 1500 for Beverly Hills, which is about 5 miles west. The station in Burbank, Burbank's about 6 to 8 miles north, and believe me, there's nothing there. If that occurs, it will be interesting. There has been kind of call letter roulette around L.A. when ESPN got a seat in Los Angeles. KSPN took over what had been KRLA. KRLA then shifted down to what used to be KIEV. So if KIEV returns, it will have to return to a new radio station, because right now there's nothing on 1500. Quick question for Bruce Conti. I enjoyed your piece on what to do if we have a lot of power hum and all of that. Those of us who don't live in the beautiful forested area where you are, what do us city folks do? I have a serious problem with power hum, and there isn't much I've been able to figure out in terms of how to mitigate that. So, take care, everyone, and hopefully we'll see you all down the road. Won't be able to make the convention this Labor Day, but hope to make one in the future. Take care.
Hello, DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. I got my copy of After Dark last week, and I really enjoyed it. I'm already looking forward to the next one. And I called Ken over the weekend and asked him to send me up a catalog. I understand that WRMR in Cleveland on 850, 50,000 watts, has applied to go to another frequency and been granted it, but I haven't heard yet where they're going, and I'm very curious about that. Maybe by the time we get the next tape, there'll be something about that. I wanted also to mention that back when the trouble was in about March, when the SkyWave wasn't very good some nights, 720 and 780 Spanish language stations came up, and a friend of mine here in the city got 780 like a local station that night. We're all looking forward to Pittsburgh Labor Day weekend.
Hey there, DXers. Josh Owens from downtown Reidsville, North Carolina, calling on Friday the 22nd day of June about 6:35 in the morning. One question and one comment. First question is last night, which will be the 21st of June, at about 8:50 or so Eastern, I tuned across the dial and I came across the station on 1560. It came in like a local that was playing Southern gospel music. It never gave an ID or anything. At about 8:53, it just dropped its carrier and everything just went. Right in the middle of a song, it just died on me. I don't know if it went to low power or if it just signed off or what. But if you could tell me what it was, I'd appreciate it. I've already ruled out a couple of stations, but I know those ain't it. But anyway, and also a comment for you on the call sign of WNRC. If I had my sources correct, and I trust them, the old WNRC call sign used to be on the old WBIG facility over here in Greensboro back in the 20s. It stood for Wayne Nelson Radio Company. That's it. That's all. No more. See you next time. Bye.
Hi, this is Jim Prather in Detroit, Michigan, and this is for you Pistons fans out there, Detroit Pistons fans. I know this is a few months away, but the Detroit Pistons are going to have a new flagship station beginning this fall, and it's on WDFM AM 1130, The Fan, and I found this out the other day. I was listening, and they say your new station for the Detroit Pistons. And so I decided to come on here now, and I'm sure Leonard or someone else on here will say likewise or have more details on that. Anyways, we'll talk with you later.
Hello, this is John Glass in California. I wonder if there's anybody in Nebraska that would be willing to record a couple of stations for me. The two that I'm specifically interested in are KOTD Plattsmouth on 1020 and KWBE Beatrice on 1450. Of course, I'll supply the cassettes. If you can help, my email address is nu6p@earthlink.net, And my phone number is area code 408-741-1034. Thanks, and good DX to everybody.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number is 419-224-1609. That's 419-224-1609 to DX Audio Service members only. And if for some reason you call the number and it doesn't answer, or there's a technical problem of some sort, please let us know at our regular office number of 419-228-4199. That's 419-228-4199. Let us know. Don't call Ken up at the Publication Center or one of the board of directors, because they really can't do anything about it. That machine is right here in our own office. But sometimes the telephone company, seeing that they're switching out a good amount of cable and putting fiber and all kinds of communication stuff throughout Allen County here, they've disturbed our lines a couple of times, and we've discovered that we've lost service. And there's nothing we can do about it unless we know about it. So if you happen to discover it, just let us know and we'll kindly get it restored as soon as possible.
The DX Audio Service.
Sounds like two Dixie cups and a string.
There's nothing else quite like it.
Mark Dernberger on the road again for the DX Audio Service. And we're visiting with Jerry Miller, who was for many years chief engineer of WCCO Radio and spent a lot of time at other radio stations in the Twin Cities market, and has now entered a new phase in his career. He is an FCC Alternative Inspection Officer. Have I said that right?
Well, I think that'll work. We offer the broadcasters an alternative to FCC inspections. This program is not one of enforcement, it's one of informing them what they need to do to be in compliance. So it does have a different twist to it. But yes, we are there to make sure that they're on track as far as the FCC rules and regulations. So it's called the Alternative FCC Program.
My understanding of this is that they could have an FCC inspector walk through the door at any time, turn the place upside down looking for things and checking logs and records and all of that and asking questions. And what you do is you go in ahead of or in place of the FCC inspector and you say, you have the FCC behind you on this. You say to Mr. Broadcaster, I'm going to show you how to stay in compliance. Here are the books. Here are the checklists.
As a matter of fact, we follow an FCC syllabus. It's a FCC self-inspection checklist. And that is a checklist that the FCC, by and large, would follow if they came a knocking on your door. Now, once you elect to sign up for the program through the your broadcast association, I would come and inspect your station and make sure that everything is up to speed and that you're in compliance. Then I'll give you a certificate and then no surprise inspections for 2 or 3 years. Now, you might get an inspection for a specific complaint, but they will not do a whole inspection and unravel all of the problems that might occur.
So you go in there and you're a friend.
This is not an adversarial. When the FCC comes in, it's an adversarial situation. They expect you as a licensee, not the owner. You're not the owner of this station. You're the licensee, and you're required to maintain compliance with the rules and regulations. You're just a licensee.
And you're there to make sure that they do, so they don't get that surprise inspection.
Yes. I'm there to help that general manager to make sure that I go through this checklist, and if I'm uncomfortable about something, it's a pending item and we need to address that item so that if the FCC would come, that he wouldn't get fined.
How many radio stations have you visited in the last 2 years?
I guess I've been to maybe 1,500 of them now.
1,500 stations.
I guess that would be the past 5 years.
Okay. I asked the question as foundation here because now I want to talk to you about some pet peeves of our DX Audio Service listeners. There are some things, as you know, Jerry, that cause interference at night, primarily having to do with following the terms of the license, or they don't follow them.
The other pet peeve, because these guys are recording on the hour, they want to hear a station ID, and they don't hear a station ID. What's the law these days?
Well, the law, the FCC rules and regulation, the law of that license is to make a station identification as near as possible at the top of the hour, at the first break in the programming, and it should consist of the call letters followed by the city of license. So in this case, sitting here at WCCO, it would say WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul, or St. Paul, Minneapolis.
So you couldn't say this is 830 WCCO?
No, it's the call letters followed by the city of license, and then you can attach 830 on it, a good neighbor to the great Northwest, the call of the North. All of those are branding. And what has happened recently is that general managers, program people have gotten branding mixed up with the legal call letters. The legal call letters gives that listener out there the opportunity to know exactly where that signal is coming from.
The other thing I note here is if you don't do the call letters and the city of license, the real city of license, you are illegal.
You're illegal under 73.1201.
So any station not making an ID is in violation of that FCC rule. Another one that seems to be a pet peeve, Jerry, and these have to do with nighttime operation. I'm curious if you run into this when you're on the road and in visiting these guys. Some people seem to think it's okay to simply shut the audio off at night when they're supposed to sign off. They leave the carrier on.
No, that's not a term of the license. It's absolutely imperative that that licensee shut down that carrier. If they're a daytime only station, they should shut down that carrier on the terms of their license. There's no question about it.
So they're illegally operating if they leave the carrier on, even if there's no programming on it?
Yes, absolutely.
Another one would be operating daytime power at night.
Well, there's absolutely tight controls. When you're licensed to operate different powers at day and night, that is right in your license agreement, and you must reduce your power at sunset. They actually have a schedule of times that you have to reduce your power.
Right on your license.
Right on your license.
And it's by month, I believe. It says the month of May.
By month and by longitude. Your longitudinal axis is figured into there. And as the sun goes down, of course, sky wave starts to come in. And it's a imperative to reduce your power, because otherwise your neglect is going to be somebody else's crisis, and there's where you're going to get a fine if you're a broadcaster. Why should your inability to operate according to the license specification cause somebody else in another market the inability to reach their legal audience during that time? When it comes to directional, it is absolutely imperative that those times of switching to power take place right on the minute. Here's how that rule reads under operation for directionals.
Paraphrasing those rules, during attended operation, that's when somebody's there by the transmitter, it is expected that the transmitter will be turned off by station personnel within 3 minutes of operation with an incorrect mode or directional pattern for that time of day.
That's correct. It's absolutely critical.
So if I hear this happening, and I know it hasn't switched because I'm a DXer of some experience and I know what the signal should do, and I can tell that nothing happened, and I call the station and they say, oh, the computer must have screwed up, they're still liable.
That's correct, and the nicest thing you could do at that point, provided they've given the right call letters and you know who they are, is to not only call them, but I really, really recommend that you would send a letter to them and state the time and the date that this happened. And if they fail to give you proper call letters, then at least if you know what state it is in, send it to the state association, and the state association can give them a heads up. Now, what's very important here is that if you could have somebody send a letter or a fax with the FCC rules and regulations that we mentioned, if you refer to the FCC rule and regulation and you send it to the state association or the broadcasters, I think that action will be immediately taken.
Another thing is that if you wanted to step it up to another level, you can always carbon copy a higher authority.
The associations you're talking about are state broadcasters, let's say the Missouri Broadcasters Association. And I sense that what you're saying to me is that some peer pressure might be applied through the association for a guy that's got a habit of leaving his daytime power on at night, that he may get a call from the director saying, somebody is complaining about this, you better straighten it out. And it's nice to do that off the record, as it were. I think I also heard you say that if he doesn't comply or doesn't follow that suggestion, then maybe you go to the next level.
A higher authority.
And that is the FCC.
Well, that's right. And I think the one thing, of course, is establishing your own credibility, knowing the exact rule, the exact regulation, and how it addresses the problem, and stated on paper with carbon copies to the right source. And I always recommend going to the station first, then the broadcast association.
Would it be useful to send a cassette, a recording, that clearly shows that there was no idea at the top of the hour?
Absolutely. That's documentation, and documentation would lend you credibility. It would also be helpful for the station. It would also be helpful for the state association, and it would document your case along with the rules and regulation and how important this is.
I suspect that most general managers are not aware of these technicalities and the things that are slipping by them.
That's right, and that's why we always want to be a good neighbor. You want to treat somebody like you would like to be treated. You wouldn't want to have somebody blindside you either. And sometimes we've had a turnover of general managers that are not generals. The word general manager means you had a general knowledge of the whole broadcast industry. And as we've gone along, we've turned over maybe many, many times the general managers, and sometimes general managers are salespeople.
All right, so if you want to complain, you might send a decently written letter and maybe a cassette to the station involved. And if you don't get a response, then send the same thing to the Broadcasters Association of that state, and you can find them in the phone book. What if I want to take it to the FCC?
Well, after you have the documentation, I would recommend this address. Can you read that for him, Mark?
FCC Investigations and Hearing Division, 445 12th Street Southwest, Washington, D.C. 20554. That is a to whom it may concern letter and perhaps recording of the station. And to once again review the relevant citations, the rule numbers, Jerry?
For station identification, it would be 73.1201.
All right, for not switching power or directional pattern at the proper time.
Well, that would be covered in 73.1350 and 73.1400. That would be the time required to change patterns. You cannot be overpowered in a particular direction because that's going to be interfering with the neighbor, and you have only 3 minutes to correct that.
So what you're saying is if your license says at 7:45 you must go to night pattern and you haven't switched, you are out of tolerance.
No question about it. You're interfering.
You have 3 minutes to.
You got 3 minutes to take corrective action. It's either got to, the corrective action would probably go to half power.
And the other would be to shut it off.
The other would be to shut it off. Now, if you are out of tolerance and you're working on the situation, you have 10 days to operate below that criteria. And after 10 days, then you have to apply for special temporary authority to operate at variance and then take care of the matter. I would just like to share with your listeners an action they can take by calling the FCC. There is a number that the FCC will respond to. Maybe you'd be want to share that with them.
Okay, this is a document put out by the Compliance and Information Bureau of the FCC. There's a national call center maintained by the FCC at 1-888-CALL-FCC or 1-888-225-5322. The address for the FCC Investigations and Hearing Division again is 445 12th Street Southwest, Washington, D.C. 20554. Incidentally, the center is fully accessible to individuals with disabilities. For hearing impaired service, for example, you would call 1-888-CALL-FCC. 1-800-835-5322. Before we leave, Jerry, I'm curious. You said you've inspected some 1,500 stations, and I wonder if there's any way for you to tell whether there are stations in constant violation of these nighttime power switch rules or nighttime pattern switch rules or leaving the carrier on with no programming.
Well, it's hard for me because we give them a two-week notice that we're coming, and they have the syllabus to follow before we get there. So by the time I'm there, they know what they should be doing, and I do not monitor over the air. So that's why we look to you, the listeners out there. What I do is I'm not an enforcer, I'm an informer. And what I clearly do is get the message across to that licensee, and usually it's the general manager. Remember, this is all not always about technical parameters. It's about the license. And the number one job of that general manager is to be the protector of the license and manage it so that there are no compliance issues. So we go out there and we inform them. It's a teaching program that this is what you need to do. It's not any heavy lifting here. And one of the things that I stress is please don't get your branding mixed up with your call letters. Calling yourself Starship 2000 Rock and Roll. That's not your call letters. So I tell them, don't get your branding mixed up. We're only asking you to do it once an hour at the top of the hour, a legal ID. And then when it comes to the other violations, it does take an awareness of what is required. And we try to leave a sense of that with the broadcaster.
You do a very good informational session when you start your time with these people. I wish I could now ask you formally to take these concerns that I'm representing to you, which are concerns shared by the DX Audio Service listeners, and sort of let these people know that you're not pointing at them, but that you know there are stations out there that leave the carrier on and you can't do that. That's a no-no, and you forget to switch pattern, and that there are people listening, and somehow work that into your presentation. I think particularly the one about leaving the carrier on, I think that people are just not aware that that's not shutting the station off. So could you do that? Could you weave that into your presentation?
I think that's an excellent heads up, and it's I'll be delighted to do that. As a matter of fact, that's what the program is about, is to say this isn't difficult stuff, and with license renewal coming up, it's not worth not doing it right. It's very, very easy to shut it off, the audio and the carrier, and do a station ID at the top of the hour. This is not a Burger King that they're running. It's a broadcast facility only licensed to the user. The American people can demand that these rules and regulations be followed.
Well, you know what? If you can cure just one bad actor, you will have won the friendship and appreciation of a lot of DX Audio Service listeners. Jerry Miller, thank you very much. We're sitting in the WCCO transmitter building here in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And Jerry and I are about to go on a transmitter tour of this heritage building and talk about some of the equipment we see around here. And that will be the subject of another DX Audio Service column. This is Mark Dernberger, back in Minnesota for a few days. And until next we meet, good listening, DXers.
And that just about does it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for July 2001. But before we toddle off into the sunset, I have a few notes here for the membership. First of all, we're mailing this tape on the 2nd of July 2001. And if you have email or have access to email, I'd like to know how well this tape gets to you, how fast it gets to you. As it's kind of going over a mid-holiday here, the 4th of July here in the United States of America, post office shuts down for the day, but I like to keep track of the mail here and see how well it gets to you. It still boggles my mind that sometimes members in Ohio get their tapes later than members in California. I still can't figure that out. But anyways, we're mailing this tape on the 2nd. Next month, we'll be back to our usual mailing and production schedule because some of the holidays and vacation times that I take are now changed around. In fact, I'll be up probably in northern Michigan and North Dakota just at the end of July and the first couple weeks of August. So hopefully we'll be able to record some stuff up there and share it with some of the membership.
promised I'd give you some mailing information. My address here at the DX Audio Service is 706 Mackenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805, and you can contact me by telephone. Best time is usually in the early evening or on weekends at 419-228-4199. And if you're on the internet, you can email me at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And the National Radio Club's webpage is at www.nrcdxas.org. By the way, the National Radio Club's AM log is completely sold out at this time, but the Night Pattern book is almost ready for publication. If you are sighted and would like to see what the patterns are for some of the stations which are on at nighttime, the Pattern book is a great publication, especially if you have both the AM radio log and the Pattern book. Now, if you'd like to pre-order the new AM radio log and pick it up at the National Radio Club convention when you're in Pittsburgh, contact Ken Chatterton at the Publication Center. His address is Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661, or you can call him at area code 315-387-3583. Ken also asks that calls be prepaid, collect calls will not be accepted, and he also asks that you call between noon and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dwayne Fisher wrote a short note to Paul Swearingen, and it reads, "I received something that I've never received in 40 years of sending QSL reports to AM and shortwave stations. I got an audio cassette letter recorded by one of the station's announcers. The report mentioned that I'm totally blind. Additionally, there was a printed copy of the letter verifying the reception of WLW in Cincinnati." What a thoughtful surprise. I agree. According to a posting in Alt Obituaries News Group, legendary XERF announcer Paul Callinger died on Wednesday, May the 30th. He had been in failing health for quite some time. Mark Connolly has also set up a new webpage with band scans, reports, and information on a variety of locations. The webpage address is http://members.aol.com. Rockport, and that's capital R-O-C-K-P-O-R-T, mwdx/index.html. Page includes AM, FM, and longwave stations, and Mark adds that DXers are welcome to send in their contributions for inclusion. I gave you details on the NRC convention, but there's a few others floating around. The IRCA Decalcomania convention will be in St. Louis, August 24th through the 26th at the Best Western Airport Inn. Send an inquiry to the host, Mike Sanborn. His email address is Mike, MikeSanburn, all one word, at hotmail.com for more information. And also the WTFDA's convention will be in Boise, Idaho, July 27th through the 29th at the Super 8 Motel. For more information, contact Frank Aiden at WTFDA2001@AOL.com. That's it. That's all. We have no more. We'll see you in less than 30 days with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio.